To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back in, Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now, Christian Fowler, per normal, every single Tuesday, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, On the Bluff. We go live every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. So tonight, as soon as I get off the show, I will be with Christian on the Bluff. Christian, how's it going, brother?
Everything's great, Gabe. How you doing?
I am doing well. I ask this just about every week. How are the wedding plans coming along? Need to check in on you. You're not going nuts yet, are you?
No, I'm good. We are definitely in crunch time, though. We've got, what is today, the 8th, 12 days? 12 days from today, okay. I'll be getting married. So, yeah, we're good. I'm ready to get there. I'm not saying I'm ready to get it over with. I'm ready to get there, though.
Yeah, it'll be slow up until it, and then very fast on the day. I'm sure everybody has told
everybody
you that.
Says. Yeah, it just, once you get there, like the everybody's like, the 2 weeks before is slow. And then once you get to like that Friday rehearsal dinner day, it is foot all the way down on the gas and it just flies by. So,
yep, for sure. For sure. Now this coaching search for the University of Memphis, it took about a week, but it felt like it flew by. Charles Huff is the ultimate answer, coming over from Southern Miss, turned them from 1-11 to 7-5 in a year. And he had the turnaround there at Marshall, 7-6 in year one, but 10-3 by the time he got to year four. And he won a conference title. What do you make of this hire, ultimately? Did they hit their fourth in a row?
I mean, I really like it. I mean, we talked about it last week and said there wasn't a ton of, like, really exciting names out there. And I think that can be misconstrued because we're really talking about surface level, right? Like, once you hear the name, what comes to mind? Like, are you initially excited about it? And outside of Dan Mullen, there wasn't really that guy that when you said the name, there was immediate recognition. But if people have done their homework on Charles Huff, like, I am excited by this. Because like you said, turned around Southern Miss, turned around Marshall, spent time at Alabama, was one of the best recruiters in the country at Alabama, spent time at Penn State under James Franklin, and has been a really – before he was a head coach, when he was a position coach, he was a very good, very highly thought of recruiter, which is good, especially at a program like Memphis when you're not going to get the most money in the country. Sometimes you have to sell that player development. Sometimes you have to sell yourself as a coach and let your body of work speak for you as far as player development. And I think when you look at Charles Huff, I think his background does that. But you also have to have a track record of success. And from his stops at Southern Miss and from his stop at Marshall, like, he has that proven track record of success. So I know there's kind of been mixed feelings. I feel like some people have been excited, some people haven't. But I think if you really sit down and do your digging and do your homework and listen to the way that other coaches have talked about him or people that really know the game of college football have talked about him, then I think they made a really good hire.
Listen, I think a lot of the fan base, especially on the social media, in the social media space, they were trying to convince themselves Dan Mullen was a real possibility. And I know that there were boosters behind the scenes that were pushing for it, but that sort of got that was over with in a couple of days last week. But like if you just looked at the candidates that would be at the top of the list from start to finish and would have been great hires, Charles Huff was, you know, there with Jerry Mack. Charles Huff was there with, you know, Buster Faulkner came along. Charles Huff was one of the best names involved in the search, and they ended up getting him. And it feels like he was probably their guy from day one on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the biggest wins is he's been a head coach, right? And I think a lot of people overlook that fact when you see other hires from around the country. Like, I know a lot of people, and you in particular, talked about Will Stein at Oregon, now at Kentucky as their head coach. And I think he can be very successful there. But I think we also underrate the time it takes to learn how to be a head coach.
Sure.
And you don't know what you're doing until you do it. Like, you can be a great position coach or a great coordinator and coach under a great coach, which someone like Will Stein did with Dan Lanning at Oregon. But you don't know until you know. Like, you don't know what that workload feels like until you've actually done it. And it doesn't matter what level. And Charles Huff's done it at two stops, and he's turned programs around also, which, you know, it's one thing to go to a program and win three or four games. It's another thing to completely change a team like Southern Miss.
A lot of work has to be done to do what he's done at Marshall and Southern Miss.
Exactly. It doesn't just happen overnight. You don't – you know, he clearly wasn't inheriting talented teams or programs that are known for playing winning college football in Marshall and Southern Miss, but he made the best out of what he had. And – that is one of those ingredients that goes into a coach that eventually becomes a big-time coach, right? Like, you have to start small, and if you can be successful with what you're given at a smaller program or a team that doesn't have that much talent, then typically, if we use past examples, then those guys continue to level up and level up every time. Kurt Cignetti is a great example. Look what he did at James Madison. Look what he's doing at Indiana now. And you can really go across the board with any great college coach, and they've started small and worked their way up and built programs along the way. That's just kind of the way it is. That's the natural progression of a college football head coach. You know, obviously there are cases where you go from, you know, overnight success or coordinator to successful head coach, but the most tried and true way in college football to be a successful head coach is to show that you can handle the small and right. build the small and then continually work your way up. So Charles Huff's done that as previous stops, and that would be the hope that this becomes the next place that he doesn't necessarily have to turn the program around in Memphis, but the right. next place where he makes their success higher than it was in the past.
Yes, he it's a different challenge for him because I think he's had two program turnarounds at Marshall and Southern Miss at this point. Now it's about, okay, can you take this Memphis program into a different stratosphere? And right. with the resources available to you, with the college football playoff access, at least for now, I know we got two G5 teams in and everybody's complaining their ass off. So we'll see how long that lasts, and we'll see what expansion looks like. You know, in 6 years, especially when the CFP – contracts are up. We'll see what happens with college football ultimately. But, you know, with that access to the college football playoff, you want to see Memphis at some point be able to take advantage and get into the big dance. And I think that's a goal that Charles Huff would have to have here at the University of Memphis. Now, turnarounds and taking a team into a different stratosphere are two different challenges altogether. And
completely.
I think we've seen largely for him, he's been at programs with little to no resources. Now he has resources. And I think it's easy for a lot of us to sit here and say, okay, well, you know, he did that with no resources. Imagine what he can do with resources. I've said this on the show. I don't know if it's that simple, right? Because I think there's a learning curve to being able to take those resources and allocate them the correct way. You know, put money in the hands of the guys you need on the transfer portal, not spend it on guys that, you know, don't necessarily pan out. Like, how do you feel about that conversation, right? Because I feel like the easy thing to say is, look what he's done with no resources. Once he gets resources, he's going to be phenomenal. I think there's a learning curve to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more nuanced than it shows on surface level. But to me, if we do want to boil it down simply and try to keep it relatively simple, a coach can coach wherever, right? I think that sounds so simple and it sounds kind of cliche, but it's so true. If a coach is a good coach, you give them players and they turn that program into sure. what they want to. And I'll go back to Kurt Cignetti because I think that's an easy example right now. What he's done at Indiana is not with the most talented players in the country, right? Like he doesn't have these top three, top five recruiting classes. But if you can coach and you understand how to run a program, then you can win football games. And yes, I agree. Like it is deep. It is deeper than that. You have to hit your talent evaluations. You have to get the right character of guy in that's going to buy into the program and not just take your money and come and put his feet up and relax. Like that part is always going to be important, right? Talent evaluation and character evaluation really are still very important factors regardless of where you go. But if you hit that, if you hit the right players and you have the right philosophy and you have the right assistant coaches, which is always extremely important, then you're probably going to be successful. So, no, is it as simple as looking at it on face value and saying, well, he was successful at Marshall and Southern Miss, so, of course, once he gets more NIL money and more talent, he's going to be successful at Memphis. No, it's not that simple. But if he continues to do the things that he's shown he's capable of right. in his career as a head coach and as a position coach, which is developing and finding talent and knowing how to build a respectful program on and off the field, then yeah, success follows that. So it's not as easy as saying, yeah, it worked there, it's going to work here. But when you dig into it and look at the layers and say, okay, if he can continue to do X, Y, and Z, then yes, he can have success here also. And it is, it's a learning curve. It's a jump up in talent. You're playing different levels of team in the American than you are at Southern Miss and at Marshall. And I understand that, but coaching is coaching. Right. And like I said, with Sig, it's the same way. James Madison and Indiana are definitely different programs. But if you know what you're doing and you know what you're looking for, then that is a recipe for success pretty much wherever you wind up. You can't relax on those things. Right. You can't do that yourself. Go, yeah, well, I didn't have very good players there, but we still won. Now I've got better players here, so we're probably going to continue to win. It doesn't work like that. Like you still have to put in the work. You still have to find the right guys. But if he's able to do that, then I don't see any reason why he can't have success at Memphis, even more so than he did at Marshall and Southern Miss.
So you brought up those other programs in the American. You know, the top four really lost their coaches. Yeah. North Texas makes what could be a decent hire in Neil Brown, coming from West Virginia. Got fired there, didn't go well, but he was at Troy once upon a time and won conference titles there. Brian Hartline at South Florida, really like it. Never been a head coach, but I mean that guy can recruit, and he can definitely recruit Southern, South Florida. So right. that's one that scares the hell out of me. But how about the team that won the American this year in Tulane? Tulane struck out on everybody. It feels like Blake Baker, who used to be a linebacker in their program, he's not coming. Jerry Mack, who was tied to the Memphis job, Kennesaw State. Turns them around from 2-10 to 10-3 in Conference USA champs. He's not going there. He's going to re-up with Kennesaw State. They end up hiring internally. Pass game coordinator Will Hall, who was here once upon a time at the University of Memphis, but he was at Southern Miss before our man Charles Huff and went 14-30 as their coach. And Charles Huff had to sort of turn that program around in year one, turns it around, gets the job at Memphis. But what do you make of that Tulane hire? I mean, that's miserable, it feels like. That's about as bad as it could have gotten for them, considering the type of program they've shown to be the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, it was really shocking to me, right? Because Tulane, at least for the last several years, has felt like the class of the American. And you just feel like with what they did with Willie Fritz and then what they did with John Summerall, it's like kind of no-brainer. They're gonna get their pick of the litter. When it comes to these American schools, and it just did not break that way for them. And who knows, like it could work out with Will Hall and they could continue the success that they've had. But at least like if you're looking at it from day one and grading the hire, it doesn't grade out with the rest of the American. I think the scariest, I'm right there with you, is Brian Hartline. And no, he hasn't been a head coach before. So I think there's that adjustment that I was talking about earlier. But he's been the best recruiter in the country for the last several years, and not only the best recruiter in the country, but at bare minimum, the best developer of wide receivers in the country.
At the bare minimum, I guess.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, you just go through the laundry list of receivers that have gone through Ohio State under Brian Hartline, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jeremiah Smith, Marvin Harrison, Carnell Tate. Like, it has been a wide receiver factory, and that's in large part due to Brian Hartline's recruiting and developing. So at South Florida, where Alex Golish left and was a very good offensive-minded head coach, they bring in another guy that it feels like he could kind of be one of those sleeping giants that's been waiting in the wings to be a head coach, and it felt like he was pretty selective in leaving. I mean, his name's come up for a couple of years now since people really started pointing all that wide receiver success at Ohio State at Brian Hartline. It felt like a foregone conclusion, at least for the last couple of years, that he'd probably go somewhere, decided to continue staying at Ohio State, and is now decided to come out and be a head coach. And so, yeah, there's going to be that adjustment period. It's going to take time. But you're talking about a coach that's seen a national championship team, a coach that understands and knows talent evaluation better than pretty much anyone in the country. Like, this guy knows what to look for in a good football player. Because let's not just keep it to receivers, right? Like, he's a coach on that team. That Ohio State team's been really good for a lot of years. He knows what elite talent all around the field looks like. I mean, you're talking about a guy just this year that's coaching against Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs every day. And go through the list once again on the defensive side of the ball. So he's just seen elite talent all around him his entire career at Ohio State. So I think maybe it's too easy to just look at him and say that he's going to be successful, and maybe we're overreacting to it, but I just don't see how he's not, because of how well-respected he is, how good of a job that he's done at Ohio State. Like, the Brian Hartline hire is terrifying to me. Will Hall, not as much. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
We'll see how it goes.
Not as much, I think, is putting it lightly, considering the way I feel about that hire.
Neil Brown the same way. Like, I could see it working, but at the same time, it feels kind of lackluster.
It's the retread thing that always, it's taking a step down that concerns me.
Right, but Brian Hartline, that just seems terrifying to me. He could be one of those sleeping giants that's coaching at one of the best schools in the country in 3 or 4 years.
So it sounds like we have a consensus on the Tulane hire with Will Hall. The hiring process was bad, and the ultimate hire was bad.
And Will's a good dude.
I likened it to this. Like, imagine back in 2019, you're coming off the Cotton Bowl. Ryan Silverfield gets the gig. He was 0-0 as an FBS coach. Imagine if you made that same hire for continuity, for, hey, let's keep building what we have under the previous head coach, the previous regime, but that coach that you hired was 14-30. You know what I mean?
Mike McIntyre.
Yes.
What if you had hired Mike McIntyre?
Well, but Mike McIntyre, Mike McIntyre had some decent days there at Colorado and otherwise. I mean, like, he wasn't the worst. He wasn't the worst.
I think
Hall's coaching career through his, 4 years there at Southern Miss, pales in comparison to what Mike McIntyre was able to do as a head coach.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, but I understand.
But still,
I get your point.
I get your point. Yeah.
Yeah, but Will's a good dude. I haven't talked to him in a number of years, but I knew him personally at one point in time. He's a good dude. He's, a good recruiter. I don't know. Do you know how old? I don't think he's an older.
No, he's not.
I
think he's mid to late 40s.
Right.
Probably.
So people learn, people grow, people develop.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's a funny thing. There's a couple of coaches that, took this route where they were terrible at their previous stops, ended up on a nice staff, and then ultimately got the head gig, even though their past as a head coach hadn't been good. Mario Cristobal is one of those guys. He lucked into a Florida International job but a Oregon job that I don't know if he was
ready
perfectly
for.
Qualified for when he got it. And Ed Orgeron was that way. At LSU, really. And USC.
Right.
USC, he got some head coaching experience there. So, like, this is not – I'm not saying Will Hall's going to fail. I'm just saying the optics
on paper.
And on paper, the hire does not look good. Now, Penn State, we'll escape the coaching carousel after this. Penn State, their hiring process was awful, right? They were the first program to get rid of their head coach in James Franklin. He goes to Virginia Tech.
Last one to hire one.
He hits the ground running. He looks great. He gets Virginia Tech's recruiting class up to, you know, top 25 in the country, according to 247. And Penn State was sitting there on you know, during the early signing period, I think in the 150s, 140s, according to 247, because they didn't have a head coach and no one really knew who was going to be the head coach. But they ultimately got it done with Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell over the weekend. He was introduced yesterday. And, I mean, my take on this, and I'm curious your thoughts, they seem to have backed into a pretty decent hire. Now, like, would I take Matt Campbell over James Franklin? Probably not.
No.
But at the same time, you know, for a while there, we were thinking Terry Smith, the interim. We were thinking a lot smaller. Matt Campbell seemed to have saved Penn State from complete disaster.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I've been a Matt Campbell fan for several years and have kind of lauded the way that he's been so picky about not being a head coach, because especially – 4 or 5 years ago, he was one of the hottest names in the country.
Absolutely.
As far as being one of the next big head coaches. So it was surprising to see him wait it out as long as he did. But I think he did a wonderful – he did as good of a job as you could possibly do at Iowa State, in my opinion. Like, you look at the success that they had, but also just the players that have came through there. It's one of those sneaky good schools that when you watch the NFL on Sundays, you see a lot of players – that have come from Iowa State, you know, whether that's Brock Purdy or David Montgomery, Breece Hall, Jaden Higgins, like
they. Will McDonald, shout out.
Yeah, Will McDonald, Alan Lazard, I think was an Iowa State guy. Also,
he was.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
He's put out some real, real high level talent in the NFL and had some really good teams at Iowa State. So, I think as far as on the field coaching, he's really good. I think he's one of the better coaches in the country when it comes to just running a program. He's done a really good job at a place that isn't known for high-level college football success. So I think it is as good of a hire as Penn State could have made at this point in time. But I'm with you. I don't think you would take Matt Campbell over James Franklin if you're just comparing them apples to apples. And the fact that it took Penn State this long is insane. And I'm sure you've heard the same things that I've heard, that Jimmy Sexton played a big role in that, because he feels like they wronged James Franklin and that he didn't deserve to be fired. And it kind of turned all of his clients, which feels like 95% of the college football head
all the
coaches.
All the really good coaches in America are represented by that guy.
Feels like he turned everybody away from Penn State. So I don't know if that's actually what happened or if that's just people, you know, connecting dots that aren't there. But when you're the first opening and you're supposed to be one of the elite teams in the, you know, historical teams in college football, and you get through signing day with no head coach, just feels absurd.
Yep.
And, it, you know, I've heard some people say they were being picky. I've heard some people use the Jimmy Sexton thing. I don't know what it was, because I know Bob Chesney was a big name for them, and he ends up at UCLA. So who knows what actually happened behind the scenes. But for them to wait as long as they did to bring in a head coach is just malpractice, especially in this day and age, to not even really have a recruiting class because you don't have a head coach and you're just completely in limbo. It felt so bungled that they had the first shot at any coach they wanted, and it took them this long to figure it out. So just complete malpractice, in my opinion. But like you said, backing into Matt Campbell this late in the cycle, like that's about as good as they could have done.
Yep, talking with our guy Christian Fowler at C. Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. All right, let's rewind back to this past weekend, championship weekend. What really stuck out to you? Obviously, Indiana gets that massive win over Ohio State. It's unbelievable what Kurt Cignetti's done in a 2-year period. I try to find, like, you know, comparisons, you know, try to find similarities in college football's past. You cannot. You just cannot do it. I mean, unbelievable turnaround and something that feels sustainable for him. Also, we had Georgia playing really well, really good football against Alabama. You know, Texas Tech looks like a real player in you know, this year's college football playoff. They're going to get the first round bye, number 4 seed overall. Like, what did you take away from championship weekend in particular?
I think to me the biggest takeaway, same takeaway I had last year. I love the 12-team playoff, but championship weekend used to be so special, and it used to be so much fun, and now it's just so watered down. At least from a fan perspective, I think the schools still care about winning a conference championship, but it's just useless at this point. I mean, the national champion last year was Ohio State, and they didn't even play in their conference championship. Like, they didn't even have an opportunity to win their conference championship last year. So, like, to me now, you really just look at it and go, this is kind of just another opportunity to get injured and to lose players for a potential playoff push because it doesn't hold that much water. So I am sad that it's kind of lost its luster and doesn't have the shine that it used to. But I'm kind of in the same vein as you. Like, Georgia and Bama wasn't really a good game. Georgia kind of just flexed their muscle. Same thing for Texas Tech. That defense is incredible and so much fun to watch, being led by David Bailey coming off the edge. Like, that's a really fun defense to watch on a weekly basis. But the biggest takeaway comes from Indiana, Ohio yep. State, because nobody thought that Indiana, at least me, I mean, I guess I can only speak for myself, but I didn't think Indiana
we've counted them out every step of the way. I didn't think there was any chance they could go to Autzen and win either.
Right.
I mean, I think a lot of people, the conversation coming into this year is, okay, their schedule's a little bit harder than it was last season. Are they going to be able to manage it? And they're better. They're way better. They're substantially better. I remember mid-season having conversations, Christian, and I think I asked you this. Is this Indiana team better than they were a year ago? And those feel ridiculous because they have proven every step of the way it's not particularly close. They are way better.
They got blasted by Ohio State last year. And I think there's a good argument to be made that Ohio State's better this year than they were last year. And this Indiana team took it to them, and they played physical with them. That defense, I mean, that team as a whole is so well coached. I mean, they are just so well coached. They're so fundamentally sound. You hardly ever see people out of position, which
correct
is rare in the NFL, much less college football.
Hey, those run fits on Saturday were gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Just the soundness in the gap playing on the defensive side of the ball. Like, no one's out of position.
Well, and now they've added playmakers to it. Six sacks, and then their wide receiver room's one of the best in the country. Great quarterback, who probably would be a top five pick, if not the top pick overall.
Right. Yeah, no, it is. They're a really fun team to watch just because you sit there and you go, Indiana, number one in the country, 13-0, Big Ten champion, number one seed in the college football playoff. Are you kidding me? Like, the most success they had was Kalen DeBoer and Michael Penix winning, like, what, 8 or 9 games, and they still, you know, they really weren't that good of a team. Same thing when they played the big teams in the conference, they got handled. And now you look at them and go, they are a force to be reckoned with because they're so good, they're so talented. Not the most talented team in the country by any means, but they're the most sound team. They're the most fundamentally sound team in the entire country, and we know that starts from the top down with coaching. Yep. And so just to see them play that kind of game with Ohio State, a physical trench warfare slugfest, like who's going to outlast the other team, and for them to come out on top in like a true heavyweight fight against what many would say was by far and away the best team in the country. And certainly the most talented team in the country when you look at Caleb Downs, Arvell Reese, Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, like all the top level high first round picks they have on their team, and Indiana's, you know, toe for toe with them, 13-10 in a slugfest. That is such a credit to Kurt Cignetti and what he has done with that program to take them from the fun, scrappy team of last year that kind of came out of nowhere and felt like a Cinderella story.
And now the Hoosiers are flipping champs, Christian.
They're flipping champs. to go from that, when everybody was like, oh, they're kind of that fun ragtag group that they can't compete with the elite teams, but they'll win their fair share of ball games, to controlling it all and being the number one seed and undefeated and champions. Like, it is like you said, there is no parallel for that. You can look through the history of college football. You will not find another story like this. This is completely unprecedented.
Yep. Is there any doubt in your mind that Fernando Mendoza is the Heisman?
No, it seems
finalists
like
are Jeremiah Love, Mendoza, Pavia, Sayan.
Yes, yeah. I agree with that. And I just, he had kind of that moment against Penn State, even though Penn State was down and, it, you know, not a great team this year.
They were, they were a spoiler, though. Like, they're still a very talented team.
Yeah, they still had a lot of talent. But, to have that throw in overtime against them in the back of the end zone and then have the win against Ohio State, like, I don't think it's really a question at this point, because it felt like that game, that Big Ten championship game, whatever quarterback played the best and came out on top with a win was probably going to win the Heisman Trophy. And for it to be Fernando Mendoza, and like I said, to also have the Penn State moment and the undefeated season, it just feels like a foregone conclusion
right
at this point. And I don't think anybody – I know it's not really a possibility. I don't think anybody – wants to see Diego Pavia win the Heisman. Like, I can't stand the guy. I am so tired.
He's got a heck of a case, though. I still will say that. No, just didn't play in championship weekend. Fernando Mendoza, the ability to win games and put that team on his back. That throw to Surratt in the Big Ten championship game was unbelievable.
Yeah,
like, he's had his share of Heisman
crazy
moments. He's had his share of Heisman moments that I think will get him over the top.
Yeah, and Pavia just, like, he's trying to do the Johnny Manziel thing.
Sure,
You can't manufacture it. He's tried to manufacture it way too much. I think I saw something. He hit the Heisman pose 8 times this year. That is just disgusting. That is just gross to me. Like, I love confidence. I love bravado. But there's a certain point where you're either faking it or you just suck as a human being. And I don't know where he lies on that spectrum, because obviously don't know him personally. But he's just become insufferable to, I think, most of the country. No one wants to see that. Like, just go on about your life.
I don't know if I quite feel that way, but hey, Christian, you're entitled to your opinion.
I most certainly do. Like, I'm done with it. 8 Heisman poses is crazy. You're never going to play in the NFL. Like,
tell Diego how you really feel, Christian. Damn. How about it?
And like I said, I'm not that dude, because, like, Manziel, everybody loved Manziel. There really wasn't a question about it. Like, Cam Newton, pretty much everybody loved Cam Newton, but, like, when you manufacture it and try to bring the attention on yourself, that doesn't sit right with me. It just feels disingenuous and fake to me. So it's a great, like, he's got a great story, coming from, what was it, New Mexico State and working his way and becoming as good as he has, but, like, just let that speak for itself. Let the play speak for itself. Even let the confidence speak for itself.
Yeah, and then his family, I think, has definitely rubbed people the wrong way. Mom out there, you know.
Brother been arrested, I think, at 2.
Brother's been arrested. I thought it's only 2. I thought it was, like, every home game.
It might have been.
Nashville.
It might have been. But it's found the tipping point from fun story and, like, man, I love this.
To too much. This is
confidence.
Too much.
So, yeah, like, now you're kind of just drowning everybody in it, and it's not fun anymore.
I hear you. Well, Christian, I'll let you roll, brother. Great stuff, as always.
Yes, sir. See y'all back next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, releases tonight. We will do it live, 7 o'clock on the...
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bluff City Media Podcast Network. Go to YouTube.com. Just type in Bluff City Media and you will find us. But we need to go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we'll hop into the Blitz right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe, Penn State finally made their hire, and it is Matt Campbell. He was introduced yesterday, and there was nothing really notable from the presser. General clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose stuff. But we haven't been able to discuss the hire. So, how do you feel about it?
I mean, this is hilarious to me because I thought Penn State as a institution completely bungled this process. I mean, they were the first to fire their coach in week six. And, you know, they didn't really have any idea who they were going to hire. And they struck out on multiple candidates along the way. They got a bunch of coaches. A lot of coaches probably owe them some money for getting them extensions. Matt Rhule, Kurt Cignetti, all of that. But it is kind of funny, at the end, they back into what I think is a pretty damn good hire. Now, listen, with all of this, I need to mention, I think James Franklin's a better coach than Matt Campbell. I think he's proven a little bit more, but Matt Campbell's still a damn good football coach. And he's never had the type of resources that he's going to have at Penn State. He did a good job of getting the donors at Iowa State to, you know, pony up some cash, and he did a good job of developing talent. They had a bunch of NFL draft picks over the years. But this is the first time that I think Matt Campbell is going to have a war chest at his disposal. So how is he going to use it? He was at Iowa State for 10 years, though, and it's so hard to win there on a consistent basis. He had an 11-win season, a 9-win season, ultimately 72-55. He peaked. I mean, he was an AP preseason number 7 team in 2021. Like, the guy really did a heck of a job at a place that is not used to that type of success. So I just find it funny that they completely bungled this hiring process, but I don't think they bungled the hire. I think this is a very good hire for Penn State, ultimately. Now, what's he going to do that James Franklin couldn't do? I don't know. I think they're in a very tough position. They missed out on early signing day and didn't have a coach, so their signing class looks very ugly. He's going to have to hit the ground running, probably get into the transfer portal, see if he can turn around this roster, make some things happen before we get to next year. But Matt Campbell is about, especially at this point in the game, it's about as good as you could have possibly hoped for if you were Penn State.
Yeah, it's basically they were losing the whole game. Fumbled, turned it over, threw it to the wrong team 10 times, and all of a sudden they threw a Hail Mary right at the end, touchdown, won the game.
Yes.
It's a miracle that they were able to get Matt Campbell because, like you said, every single coach that made sense for Penn State said no and got extensions where they already were. And honestly, it is I still think that they should have kept James Franklin after everything that happened with this coaching search, but I think that Matt Campbell's the type of guy that can absolutely stabilize your program. I just don't know. We've talked a lot about coaches who can stabilize a program and coaches who can actually make it go to that next level.
Yes, and some do both really well.
Some do both. I just don't know. I don't know if Matt Campbell's going to be the guy that can take it to the next level that they want it to be, but I do know that he'll be able to stabilize.
This is where I wanted to end this conversation on Matt Campbell, because I have his stats against AP top 25 teams and AP top 10 teams.
Which is what matters to Penn State
16
fans.
And 27 against AP top 25. Not great.
Not bad.
But right around the pace that I think James
at
Franklin
Iowa State,
set.
That's not bad.
Yes, and then against top 10 teams, this is way better. Way better than James Franklin. 4-6.
Okay.
I mean, he can win a big game. It's just about being able to get out of a season unscathed and give yourself the best chance to compete against an Ohio State, an Indiana, an Oregon in a Big Ten championship game and in the college football playoff. That's what Penn State's looking for. So we will see. But I again, like, my overarching thought on this hire is the hiring process was terrible. The hire was good.
Yeah, I do want to ask you, just gut reaction to it. Would you rather have James Franklin there or Matt Campbell?
Listen, James Franklin, I think he's a damn good football coach. So James Franklin. But that, it's not a possibility.
It's not a huge gap,
they
though.
Decided. Yeah, it's not as big of a gap as it would have been if Terry Smith got the full-time job.
Right.
But, you know, that would have been a disaster hire. But, yeah, it's James Franklin. It's James Franklin. A proven recruiter, proven winner. Proven stabilizer, also a proven guy who can turn around a program, which is what he's going to attempt to do here at Virginia Tech, and I think he'll be successful at it. So James Franklin is my guy. I think he's a top 10 coach in college football. It just didn't work out this year for whatever reason at Penn State.
Yeah! Clark Lee gave a very refreshing message on Vanderbilt's exclusion from the college football playoff. Here's what he had to say.
You know, we happen to be on the wrong side of that in this moment. But that's no one's fault except for our own. You know, we had our opportunities and we didn't do enough. And so we are not victims in this process. We're our ownership is in coming up short. I think it's a reminder of how critical every moment is, every snap, every possession. And there's a lot to learn in this season, because we want to be back in these moments. But as it is, you know, we'll spend time in the off season trying to get the system more into focus with where the game has gone. In the meantime, we're gonna celebrate the hell out of going and playing in Tampa and having some fun together one last time.
You're right. That is refreshing. Also, to the assembled media there in that press room, take it easy on your keyboard.
Somebody was going
crazy. They're just
crazy.
Slapping their keyboards. That's all
Good
I could
Lord.
Notice when I heard that the first time. But Clark Lee, thank you. Like, seriously, thank you. We didn't do enough. We lost games that we could have won, and we're on the outside looking in. Notre Dame, take notes. Miami, take notes. The SEC teams that are in the same conference as Vandy that were 9-3 last year, South Carolina, Alabama, Ole Miss, take notes. This is what I've been preaching through this Notre Dame-Miami nonsense this entire time. In the end of the day, yeah, the ACC can get up on a pedestal and try to say Notre Dame doesn't deserve it. They didn't win the head-to-head against Miami. Miami should be in. But Miami lost two unranked games in 3 weeks. If you didn't want it to be as close as it was, don't lose two unranked games in 3 weeks. I like self-accountability. It's what I was taught being a football player growing up, getting into college, trying the pro thing. Self-accountability is a form of accountability that ultimately leads to success. And to hear Clark Lee take accountability for this makes me think that Vandy program's in great hands going forward, and that they will be successful and they could potentially get to a college football playoff in the future. But this was so nice to hear from a coach who I thought really his team was kind of the victim of, hey, we're looking at that logo and we're not going to rank you as high as we think you as you should be. That's what I felt like Vandy was all year. So, man, shout out to Clark Lee. Shout out to that football program. Accountability first. I think that's a good message to send.
I had the exact same feeling you did listening to that clip and watching that clip. I think that Clark Lee is very quickly going up at the top of my list for coaches in the country,
yep,
who I want to be running my program, who I'd want to be playing for, and just coaches I like overall. He takes accountability. Everything he says is the correct answer. And he's not breeding a culture of whining.
Yes.
And not caring about wins
and
losses.
And woe is me, and victim mentality.
And just, oh, because we're in the SEC, we should be handed something and we should be given an easier pathway. No, that's not what this is about. You are in the SEC. Your schedule is more difficult, but you have to win football games to make it in the college football playoff. And I like what he said. We lost the games. That's why we're not there. It's not anything else than that. We lost the games that we had an opportunity to win, and that is why we aren't in the college football playoff. That is going to breed a culture of accountability, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of success for Vanderbilt if they can keep him there for a while.
You know what is kind of ironic, though, about the whole thing? You know where Clark Lee came from before he went to Vandy, right? Who's the Notre Dame defensive coordinator. Just wanted to throw that out. Now, you won't see Notre Dame in the college football playoff, but you'll see plenty of other great teams battling it out for a national title. And when you go to bet on those games and you want to enjoy your Saturday or what have you, you need to go to Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. It is a phenomenal place.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
It's with wall-to-wall screens, 20 HD TV screens to be exact. They will tune one of those TVs, if not multiple of those TVs, to the game of your choice so you can watch along with your bet and ultimately win. Whether you're all in on your favorite team or just love the thrill of big matchups in college football, Caesar Sportsbook Inside Horseshoe Tunica is the spot to feel every play, every score, and every win. Grab a seat, catch a games, and place an order from their game day food menu. You can get $1 wings from Guy Fieri's Flavortown right around the corner. They can also deliver a beer to you. It is enjoyable as it gets. They have a full-service sports betting experience complete with in-game wagering, staff betting windows, and 10 self-betting kiosks, so you'll always be able to lock in the bet of your choice. Caesar Sportsbook Inside Horseshoe Tunica is the ultimate in college football viewing experiences. If you want to get into the games and get in on the action, you need to get into Caesar Sportsbook Inside Horseshoe Tunica. We will see you on Saturday, and we will literally see you on Saturday. Connor and I will be there alongside Kevin Cerrito, the Trivia Master, playing some trivia. It's our last event at Caesar Sportsbook this year for this season. So make sure you show up, you show out, and we will be there taking you along for the ride. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll come back and rewind right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.